I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 8. The subheading of which reads, "To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David." We don't know the occasion for this psalm, but it certainly was an occasion for David to praise God. Striking about the Psalms, every one is written, and the occasion is to praise God, whether for this or that, but Psalm 8 is no exception. Psalm 8, the Word of God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." The occasion of the baptism of a babe of the covenant, Isaiah Lee, we would consider Psalm 8 at verse 2, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants or sucklings you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." The psalm, beloved, is all about the praise of God, whose name is extolled as excellent in all the earth. From beginning to end in Psalm 8, we have this praise: "O Lord, our Lord, O Jehovah, our Adonai, how excellent is your name in all the earth." And then verse 9, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." The psalmist extols God, whose name is excellent in the heavens, and excellent especially there, it said, in the moon and the stars that he has ordained and which are the work of his fingers. But also and especially, the psalmist extols God for honoring and crowning human beings with great glory, the glory of dominion over all creation. But wonder of wonders, the crown of the crown of human beings is that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, God also has revealed his name, ordaining strength to still the voices and the calumnies and slanders of the enemy and the avenger. For the praise of the babes, we would now speak and to acknowledge the praise of the babes. And we are in good company when we do this, because not only this word of God, which extols God's glory out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, but Jesus himself saw it important enough to extol God and remind the congregation there, if it can be called a congregation, in the temple on Palm Sunday, when there was occasion for the hosannas of children to be heard, even among the slanders of the Pharisees who wanted to silence the children. At that occasion, I say, Jesus says, this was fulfilled. Psalm 8, verse 2, "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise," or, as the Hebrew has it, "ordained or established strength." The praise of the babes. This is why the family here, the Myers family, has presented its firstborn son, Isaiah Lee, for baptism, acknowledging the praise of the babe and suckling that he is, acknowledging the wonderful covenant of grace. What a wonderful occasion also for the congregation to be reminded that God is the God of us and our children, and his praise will be known, the praise of his grace, even in the generations. So we want to consider what is that out of the mouths of babes, and first of all, what is their praise, and secondly, their identity, to focus on this for a little while. And then finally, we want to consider the church and the babes. What is the response of parents? What is the response of a church to hearing that God is the God who is so pleased that out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, He has set it so that they establish His own almighty strength in the victory over His own enemies. The psalmist, as I said and mentioned, is all about the praise of God, whose name, it is said, is excellent in all the earth. The name is the identity of God, and in specific, it is His revelation. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord in Genesis already, and this was to call upon God who had been revealed in His name. What is celebrated here is the name of God, the identity and revelation of God, and His greatness in all the earth. That's what the psalmist begins with and ends with. In all the earth, there is this name of God which is excellent and wonderful, and bespeaking the fact that He is God, the God over all the earth. In particular, it is said that the works of His fingers, the moon and the stars, and we could also apply there the sun and the moon and the stars, is a principal way that God in the heavens ordains that He would be revealed in all His greatness. The God of creation is celebrated here, who is this God who will be known as the God of this creation and of His providence. It is striking that this could be so. It's striking, I say, that God's glory could be known in created things. And the reason is because we know God, and the psalmist certainly knew God. O Lord, he says, O Jehovah God, the I am that I am. And then the second name that's given, Adonai. He's extolling God who's truly God. But the striking thing we should find in this text is that God condescends to communicate Himself, something of His greatness, in things below Him. This is a great wonder of creation, and it's being an elegant book, as the Belgic Confession says, in which is writ large His own greatness. For Psalm 113 reminds us that the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory is above the heavens. His glory is above the heavens. Psalm 113, verse 4, this is alluded to in Psalm 8, verse 2. How excellent is your name in all the earth, the psalmist says, who set your glory above the heavens. Well, that's the rub, as it were. That's the mystery of this revelation of the great name of God in creation. God is above creation. How can anything here below even begin to articulate that God is great when everything below is below? Just created, just the work of His fingers. He made the moon, children, with His fingers, it says here. And He made the stars with His fingers, as it were. Amazing. But then there's this also that's remarkable, that among all the beings that are pointed out here as where God in all the earth reveals His great name, there are men. Men who are questionable at best as being glorious, at least compared to the moon and the stars and the great and bright and twinkling things and the comets of heaven. The psalmist has this question in mind. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? You've made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. And the glory and honor is his dominion over all of the works of the hands of God. over all God's works. God has said, man, you are the king of them all. I crown you and I honor you with that created glory. And again, the question is, how can that be? A puny man of whom we just sang, God must be mindful ever because of our human frailty. How could man be a place where the name of God is extolled? Man is weak, God is almighty. Man is a fool, God is wise. Man is someone who's a sinner and God is holy. But this is what the psalmist especially extols God for. When he's considering the works of God in the heavens and then man, and then and especially leading the way, the praises of God that emanate from the mouth of the babes and nursing infants of man. Right away, and this is definitely the outstanding theme of the whole psalm, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've ordained strength. That is, you've established something of the almightiness of God to still the mouths and the slanders of the enemies, to put them to flight. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, just that, babes and nursing infants, there's a great glory that comes. That's what the psalmist is extolling here. Rather mysteriously, he goes down, as it were, from stars and moon, and then, by implication, the sun and the comets and the great and dazzling things and the things that give light like the sun and the things that have to be of the right temperature, or we burn up or we turn into ice. The psalmist goes to man, and the psalmist goes to we people, W-E-E people, babes and sucklings, that's smaller than most of you children, though it is Isaiah Lee, still a babe and still a suckling. Now, how is it that out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, God gets the praise? That's the idea here. How is that? They can't say anything. They're not articulate. They don't have understanding to say anything, so that even if they said anything by mistake, as it were, we know that they really don't understand what they're saying. How is it that out of the mouths of little ones, out of their mouths, there's this praise? Well, certainly it could be that the psalmist is referring to the fact that the wonderful creations are little ones. Formed so wonderfully in the womb, the psalmist reminds us, Psalm 139. Michael and Elizabeth mused upon that as we were considering the development of the little one, Isaiah Lee, in the womb of Elizabeth. How fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows all the timing of development. God knows all of the body parts that need to be there and the organs and so on. And besides, there's a soul right from the beginning, right from conception. This is a human babe, not some animal. This is this higher being, made and originally created all human beings according to the image of God. Amazing. And out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, God would say something. And basically what he'd say is, glorify me. I made them. They're mine. As a creation of God. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't you touch them. Don't you hurt them. Just listen to them. As they gurgle, as they bespeak the development of mine own hand in the womb, because I was with them in the womb and I was watching them much closer than any doctor could. I was watching them, God says. Amazing. And caring for the little ones, and now out of their mouths, as they suck from mother's breast, as they coo, as they gurgle, as they prattle, as they cry out in their need, there's praise. That's something. Well, many have stopped there in extollation of the praise that comes from the mouth of very little babes and nursing infants. But we can't do that. Our text reminds us that there's something more wonderful even than that these ones show the praise of God because they're simply his creatures and amazing little creatures. For the text says that out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, God, you, Jehovah Adonai, have ordained or established strength, set a bulwark, as it were, laid out a foundation, used as instruments of war against enemies. For God has ordained strength in those babes and from their mouths to come because of God's enemies, the text says. And that you, the psalmist extols God for this, you, Jehovah God, through the mouth of the babes and the infants, may silence the enemy and the avenger. Now that reminds us, first of all, that though the heavens declare the glory of God and the sons of men here are given the great dominion and their babes and so on are instruments of praise, that this is not the case in all of the world. In fact, in most of the world, there's enemies, and one here, a principal enemy, number one, a devil, and who would venge his losses as God takes his own to himself and seek vengeance and revenge by undermining the cause of Christ. But just think about that first for a minute. These mouths of babes and sucklings, out of their mouths comes something in a battleground. Not just in a created paradise, but in a fallen world, where many are not praising God, even though they are made to do that. Many among the sons of men would wrest the glory away from God if they could. And it's said of the Gentiles in Romans 1 that they turn the glory of the creature, or the glory of God, they would try to turn the glory of God into the glory of a creature, and they worship the good stuff of the world. And this is what we're going to see in 2020. Heathen and atheists who say there is no God or live like it, even though they may confess sometimes that there is this God that they need, they're all about the glory of man, and the glory of the created thing, and how much we can gain in this year. And so that we can die with the most toys, maybe, and win, and show that we've had fun in this earth, and we've accomplished something for the society of unjust and very sinful men. There's a battleground. And in the midst of this, God has, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, the lowliest of the lowly men and sons of men, establish something. And that leads me to this point here that we got to get clear before our minds, the identity of those babes. Those babes out of whose mouth God has ordained strength because of enemies are on the side of God. This is the truth of infant baptism and the truth of God's covenant. The babes here out of whose mouths God has ordained strength because of the enemies of God are not the enemies of God. They're the friends of God. Lo and behold, something has happened among sons of men, and we see it in the babes, and we hear it in the babes, and from the mouths, and the prattle, and the cooing, and the gaga, and the whatever of the babes. A work of God's grace. Really. And the most remarkable and unnoticeable of things, in the ordinary bringing forth of a child of God's covenant, that's what we see here. And this is what we're reminded of here. We're reminded of God's covenant, his fellowship with sinners in their generations, his promise to be a God unto the seed of the woman already back in the garden after Adam and Eve had fallen, and then revealed to Noah and his seed, and then to Abraham and his seed. I'm going to be your God, Abraham, and the God of your children after you in the generations. I'm going to be your God, your family God. That's what this text is alluding to. These are the mouths of babes and nursing infants among the people of God who call God their Lord, their Jehovah, their Savior. These sons of men, these sons of Abraham, these Israel are the ones who lead the celebration, and their babes lead the celebration even of the adults. That's something. It's all kind of backwards, we'd think. But see, God is the God whose name will even be put in the mouths of these babes and on the head of these babes, identifying them and marking them out as his. This is the truth of this text. It's not when they come of age that they're marked out. It's not when they come of age that they're on the side of God and they are for the praise of God. No, it's right when they're born. And we believe also when they're conceived, there's this amazing beginning of God in the babes. But here it's said, out of their mouth. Out of their mouth. The mouths of the babes and the sucklings. You see, this is all about the name of Jesus. And the baptism of an Isaiah Lee and of your children and my children is all about the name of Jesus, and that being known in all of the earth, and especially among the sons of God in their generations, as the God who is the Savior of sinners and the one who condescends to bless the children. To bless the children. Now, to understand this, and this further, the identity of the babes here, I want you to turn with me this time to Matthew 21, where there is this reference to the fact of a certain fulfillment of Psalm 8, verse 2, in the history of redemption in the New Testament. It was Palm Sunday. Think of palm trees and branches being cut down and a great multitude spreading their clothes on the road and Jesus coming on a donkey just before the Sunday before he will be crucified. The last time he will be in the temple. The last time he will, and the second time he will cleanse the temple of all of the thieves that were making a profit off of the religion of the people of God. They were trafficking as those engaging in simony for religious gain off religious people. This time, the multitudes who went before Jesus, verse 9, and he was again riding on this donkey in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah, they cry out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And all the city is moved, and they're saying, "Who is this? Who is this?" And so that's the city, and those are the adults, the multitudes crying out. But then at this occasion, and Jesus is cleansing the temple, and he's healing the blind and the lame who came to him in the temple. And at the occasion when the chief priests and scribes were seeing these things, there's the children. The children crying out in the temple, verse 15, and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the leaders are all mad. The enemies of God are so mad and angry, they want these children especially to be silenced. And Jesus says, Do you hear what these are saying? Or they say, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus says, yes. Acknowledging that what they're saying is true. And then he says, have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. And then the enemies of Jesus and of the children left him. And of course, this is the great fulfillment of Psalm 8, verse 2. The babes there who are described in Psalm 8 as nurslings and sucklings, and they can't say anything intelligible, are here grown up a little bit. They're children. But they're children who first were the babes and the sucklings in Israel. The praise of the babes was real, and now it's articulate and we can understand it. And the ones who are the objects of the mercies of God become the great preachers of the temple. And notice their attention. Notice that. It's all about Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. And Hosanna to the Son of David, they say, mimicking the multitudes of adults in verse 9, but themselves in it, saying it with all their little hearts, their child hearts, something they knew from when they were nursing at mother's breast, something they knew by way of the promise of God, something that was real, now is coming out. What God had done for the babes and in Israel. Though all of the apostate are denying it and wondering, these seem surely to be sure. And they're not going to stop. But they're going to stop the mouths of the enemy, of the devil, of the one who's angry. Because God, through Jesus, is fulfilling his promise. And he's taking from the snatches and the clutches of the devil his own from among the fallen sons of men. And he's saying to the devil, I win and you lose. And here's my artillery. Here's my artillery. What comes out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, the Word of God. You see, that's what the battle is here. It's the battle of the Word of God, as it was in the beginning. The devil said, yea, hath God said. Now God's showing, here's what I say. I am the God of this creation, and my name will be known especially and covenantally and unto salvation as the God of a people, and of the God of grace, and of the God of mercy, and of the God of family. That's what he's saying through the little ones. And more. Now, I can't go so much into this, but it's simply marvelous. You know what those babes are praising when they're praising Jesus? Hosanna to the Son of David, Savior. Savior, Son of David, acknowledging that he's the Messiah. What they're saying is that Jesus, in all his humiliation, he's riding on this donkey, remember, and he's not liked, he's not popular, at least he's not going to be. This Jesus, they will not reject simply because he's riding on a donkey and because he's not so popular. And pretty soon the parents who are crying out his praise, they're going to say, crucify him, crucify him. You see, something of the children recognizes so purely, so innocently, so with pure faith, that this Jesus is in the way of humiliation. The God who's come down, big time. He's come down to the dust. He's like us. This is his temple. And at this occasion on Palm Sunday, he's asserting his right. He's the Lord of the temple. This is my Father's house, and he's the Lord who suddenly comes into his temple pretty soon. He's going to be the temple destroyed because he is the temple. He's the place where God dwells, the person in whom God dwells bodily, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, who will be broken. But here's something that the babes and sucklings tell us even before that humiliation of Christ. They tell us that Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, was first Son of Man, and first himself a babe and a suckling. That's how low he came. You realize that? Jesus is the real Adam, the Bible says. The antitype of the type. Adam is real, of course. Real, physical, created being on the sixth day, so on. But in a sense, he's not the real man or the real Son of Man because he's only a picture of Jesus. And one way that Jesus shows that he is the real man come to redeem real sinners and to take on their life in every phase is that he's conceived and he's comes forth from the womb of Mary and he's the first suckling. Adam and Eve, you know, they didn't suckle. They were created out of the dust. But here's the first babe. Out of whom came the praises of God. Here's the first one. The first word from heaven. By whom and for whom everything was created. He's the firstborn. And he was baptized. Who will now go through the baptism of crucifixion. And rejection. And his words of dereliction. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Will be the greatest praise of God. That's our Savior. What is that to us? Final point. What is the church and the babes? What's their relationship? Well, the first thing needs to be said in our day. Let's go back, shall we? To where it begins. Church of Jesus Christ, believe this word and believe therefore that God is a family God. And therefore, when you're younger and then you grow older, you show that by marrying in the Lord. And I'm going somewhere with this. Marrying in the Lord before you marry, meaning the way you go about it's important. You find a mate, a man or a woman of God. Then you're Israel indeed. Man of God indeed. And a woman of God indeed. Someone with whom you can worship and with whom you can simply worship in awe because of the way of God with you to save you and to lead you then together. And then when you marry, you have children. You have children. Why? For the praise of God, that out of the mouths of your babes and your sucklings, there will be this praise and the silencing of the devil who thought he had us all. And so, while the Muslims are having their babies, and the Mormons are having their babies, and the world is aborting its babies, you have babies. For the loud praise of God from womb to tomb, from the lips and the coos, and then to the praises of God articulated as they're instructed and as they come to knowledge, confounding the world. Now you have those children. And the Bible says they're blessings. And that means you don't stop just because now we need a break. I know. There's all kinds of things you consider as parents. Consider the well-being of mom and all this stuff. But if children are the blessing of the Lord, and if through them there's praise, have them. And don't say, well, we're going to stop here and wait 3 years, or we're going to stop at two and maybe later, when we can afford them, we're going to have more. Beloved, listen to the Word of God. This is what He says. He knows the fears that we have. He knows that we are frail as parents and that we can hardly eke out a living sometimes. And how are we going to take care of the kids? And what sleep deprivation we learn about when we have children. The mothers smile here. Well, the dads smile. I think the mothers are just nodding. But how much praise do you want in your home? Really, that's what it comes down to. How much praise? And when? Have as much as God gives and whenever He gives. That's my counsel to those who are seeking to marry. Well then, you bring them for baptism. Infants for baptism. We believe in infant baptism here. Why? Because God saves believers and their children, and the covenant with Abraham is one. It's the covenant of grace. It's the detail of the promise with regard to God being the God of the seed of the woman and putting enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the snake. Now in the loins of Abraham, to whom promises were made that he would be the God, Jehovah would be the God in the generations. This is fulfilled in Pentecost and to the church of the New Testament. We baptize the children. Why? Because we believe the Word of God. And we would have that signified and sealed in the sacred ordinance that reminds us all of the Word of the covenant of God that continues, and which is to us and to our seed and to as many that are afar off, even those whom the Lord our God shall call. This is why there is the baptism of infants. Maybe among the ones who are the little children now, crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Maybe among those were the ones that Jesus, as infants, took up in His arms. We never know that, but in Matthew 18 and Mark 10, we read that Jesus took up infants, some 8 infants and sucklings in His arms and blessed them. Maybe they were, maybe not. But Jesus loves the little children. And He loves it that they can be His mouthpiece, as it were. Little words of God in little hearts. By their cooing, by their existence, by their very breath, in the line of the generations of God's people and God's word and God's promise, we're going to seal and signify something that God does. And you see, that's what baptism is. It's something that God does that we're celebrating here, first of all. The infants can't actively and consciously believe. They can't confess their faith, the babes and the sucklings. That's no matter to David. That's no matter to Jesus in the New Testament. That's no matter to the writers of the epistles, Paul leading the way, who spoke of the children as those who were in the Lord and ought to be raised accordingly. It is a matter and an issue, however, with the Baptists. They're wrong. Those who believe that we should not baptize infants in the line of generations, but wait until a conscious faith, have no place for babes. It's that serious. That's why the fathers in Article 34 of the Belgian Confession said that it was detestable, the error of the Anabaptists, who not only had strange notions of church and state, but his principal error was that they condemned the baptism of infants. That's why our fathers took a stand. It's important. It's vital that right away we show in our families, our family is being built by God. It's based on the promises. You know, centuries ago, they'd roll out the cannons on the battlefield, and it was said that on many a cannon was a plaque engraved, etched in the metal somehow. This is the king's last argument, the cannons. And they destroy the enemy with the cannons. Beloved, this text reminds us, and baptism seals it unto us, that the infants and their baptism is a shot across the bow to this God-denying world. It's glory to God. The children are like cannons or bludgeons, blasts of the cannon of God, because in them is a word that God's speaking. And the helpless babes. And he's saying, I love sinners. That's what. That's why we baptize infants. That word alone in Psalm 8, fulfilled in the New Testament, Matthew 21, blows away all the arguments of the baptism of the Baptists. You see, the Baptists think of children as heathen. They're not covenant children, really. They regard them as objects of missions. That's wrong. Our text says that rather than being objects of missions, our children are preachers. You believe that? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, then too. They're like the preachers, and sometimes yours, who shows how weak he is, babbling up here a few things, not able to grasp all the mysteries of the gospel that I'd like to before you. But the before us scholars and so on, the little ones. So the baptism of infants, the raising of infants, oh, Church of Jesus Christ, Myers family and associates, grandparents, uncles, and aunts, and all of us who are friends who've been a part of the great Project Church, raise the child whose baptism you've witnessed in the fear of God. You see, the devil is going to go after that child. And that's why in the form it says, we pray that that child, Isaiah Lee, may manfully fight against all sin and opposition for himself. And as he's instructed, and as all the children are instructed in the wonderful paths and truths of God in his salvation, Jesus Christ, we don't stumble over the humiliation of Jesus Christ by doing foolish things like preaching and teaching and giving our all by example and by precept to be someone on the behalf of Jesus, so that the children's words are not muffled by our foolish words and our foolish behavior. And so we would adorn the doctrine of infant baptism with godliness and not presume anything in believing everything that God says. So, beloved, now we would continue on, learning from the babes, and that God uses all kinds of means, like babies and like those who are to have childlike faith and the foolishness of preaching, and the foolishness of hearing, and the foolishness of church, and the foolishness of standing and daring to be a Daniel, and daring to be a Nathaniel, and daring to be a Paul, and a Joseph, and a David, and whoever else who's marked by baptism to the praise of God. So here, beloved, not just in all the earth, but now here, and now in your homes, may it be said, how excellent is the name of God there. How glorious do the babes speak? Do the brothers and sisters speak? The aunts and the uncles and the grandparents and the parents, how glorious do they speak praises of God and of His grace. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent Thy name in all the earth, and out of the mouths of babes and sucklings You've ordained strength to vanquish the enemy and be for perfect praise on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We thank You, Father, for the Word. The word of the babes, the word of the gospel, the word of Your servant. We become away, Lord, resolute. We're going to praise You with our children. We're going to be those who are renewed in our conviction of the great, inestimable worth and value of the babes of God's choice and of the covenant of grace. We're going to be those who react and who promote the life from above and rejoice. We love You, Father. Thanks for Your love to us and our children. Pardon our many sins of preaching and hearing. Bless our fellowship now in the Lord together. Amen.